sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
All right. It's real quick here. Appreciate all the texts, all the emails. All the Facebook messengers. Where's Josie, man? Perfect time for Josie. Ah, we ain't doing it against the Colts. Feels like KC type of thing, you know? Big game.
You're winning.
Yeah. Well, you're winning. Game was in hand. Not going to roll that out against Colts on a cheesy Thursday night. No. No. You know what? It's not Sweet Caroline. We said that. But make sure. Make sure that doesn't happen. Break it out when you need it.
Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston is with us. Phil Perry is brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Columbus Day weekend cookout a huge success. Get details at stopandshop.com.
What's up, boys?
What do you got, picture day today? You look awful clean.
Yeah, I showered today, Zoe. Yeah,
got your little striped shirt on.
Next level? Did I go next level by bathing this morning?
We went to Crazy Eight's, a legacy
place. It was a late night last night.
Bertie's got like five of these. These are nice.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, just trying to be comfortable. Yeah.
As a school picture shirt. It's not a t-shirt.
It's not a school picture shirt.
But you're not trying
too
hard.
There's no collar.
No.
No turtleneck.
That's trying too hard, school picture shirt. That is a legit middle-of-the-road school picture shirt.
He knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. It's a good look.
Okay, Phil,
that's a school picture shirt.
Let's talk some football. What do you say, Phil?
The family's got five kids.
Just ignore those guys. Just ignore them. Let's talk football.
What do you got,
here.
Phil?
Let's bring it home.
What you want to take away? Come
on. Did you see the game last night?
What's the biggest story or development of this game?
Come on.
Julian Edelman.
Thank you.
That was
Thank
a knock the rust off ASAP kind of game plan for
In
Julian
your
Edelman.
Face.
I didn't know. Was there a big debate about that?
Okay.
Jim Louth.
What was Jim's storyline?
Oh.
I said that's for the regular season. Yes, I said as far as winning a championship, the breakaway ability of Sonny Michel and Josh Gordon is the biggest development last night.
Championship mode, Jim.
I would say those two are right after Julian.
Yeah, I would say those are the three, but I would say that it's Edelman.
I put James White second.
Sonny Michel, and then I put
But you
Gordon.
Know what, you know what James White is. You know what he is.
Known commodity.
Well, he doesn't need to continue to
But
to
I think
prove
we should
this.
Recognize it, not say, boy, he was so good that he's part of that story last night.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, he's part of the story definitely. Of the game, but as far as the bigger picture story of the season.
Don't ignore that, man. Yeah.
Julian Edelman, I thought there was a chance where, after talking to Ninkovich, who worked out with him extensively, Ninkovich was the one saying, don't put too much on this guy's plate. He's coming off an ACL. He's 32. He hasn't practiced in a month. Yeah, we're working out, and we're working out pretty hard.
Julian got the good stuff. That's where he needs to talk to Nate.
the good jams at the line of scrimmage is what you're talking about.
Yes,
that's what Rob Ninkovich was giving
looks.
Him
yes.
For the better part of a month. But he said, don't give him too much. The long term is more important with this guy. And I agreed with him, but it was clear last night this was a situation where, and you see them do this with guys. Like, remember when we were talking about Dante Hightower in preseason? It's like, why is he out there? Why is he playing so much? Mm-hmm. Well, when you miss time, and you have some rust to knock off.
Hightower's
I think the Patriots
around.
Are pretty open about the fact that they're going to be aggressive with you to try to get you the reps you need to make you feel comfortable. And that's obviously what they did with Edelman.
It's interesting you bring Hightower up. See, I think the two biggest defenders that are coming around are Hightower and Jason McCourty. I think Jason McCourty's given you two really good back-to-back games on short rest. And with Rowe sitting there and potentially coming off injury, that could be a big, big bolstering step for this defense opposite Gilmore. We know what Gilmore can do. Gilmore can play man. That's a guy. And he's good at knocking it out. The other defenders need to get good at knocking that ball out. I thought the Colts battled well at the point of where the ball was caught. I thought they fought through some tough catches. There weren't any drops by them. They came back down the stem to help Luck a lot. And that's stuff you can coach and defend, though, moving forward.
Chester Rogers. Who was that guy? Did anybody know who that was before
Jim
last
Louth
night?
Did. Jim Louth did.
Jim Louth bet on
game.
Him. Gambled
he was
on
big
last
on him. He was big on Rodgers last
Grant,
night.
Grant, Rodgers, Swope.
Grant.
I mean, Swope. That's going to be one of the least talented teams you see all year offensively. But I agree with you on McCourty. The interesting thing about Jason McCourty is he's been where he's supposed to be all the time, and he's limiting yards after catch. If you look at the number of catches he's allowed, quote-unquote allowed, and the number of yards he's given up, it's minuscule. And so he's not making big-time plays.
No, he forced the Jones
except
pick.
For that one last night. Yeah. Exactly. But I think that's been a underrated addition to this defense.
Jason
so
McCourty
far this
has
year.
Been better than expected, and Devin McCourty has been less than expected.
Devin McCourty had a tough time with the tight ends last night.
Yeah, he did.
It was an interesting plan on their part because it looked like Chung was the guy for Hines, the running back, in the passing game.
Quicker.
Usually he's the tight end guy. But for whatever reason, the matchups broke out the way they did, and they had McCourty on the tight end. And haven't had a chance to look at much of this game a second time around yet, so I'm not really sure. Like, we don't even get great replays all the time sometimes up in the press box.
Sure.
So.
I saw Kern bitching
about
that.
Just a speed thing from what you guys saw?
Partially,
like, I don't...
but I think that where they're using Devin McCourty now, where they're using Harmon deep,
right.
And they're using...
McCourty's in the box.
Yeah, and McCourty's now in the box, and he's...
He's there for tackling against the run.
Yeah, I just think he's sort of limited when you put him in coverage there, and I think you're kind of exposing him, and because it's not his strong suit, it's not what he does best, and on top of that, yeah, he is getting older. Like, you're not going to be, your best speed at his age.
And to your point, things move a little bit faster. The closer
to the
line of scrimmage,
the less reaction time you have.
Exactly. So his strength is being able to see the entire offense, watching things as they develop, playing angles. I think he still has good speed. Again, I'll have to watch it again from last night. I think he still has okay speed. But when he's down in the box, I think things move a little bit faster for him.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. I mean, I think that he's sort of getting, the team's putting him in a spot that's not best for him. But they need him there.
They do. And you're going to have to, if Chung's going to be the running back guy moving forward, you're going to have somebody who can match up with these tight ends, because you're going to want to play a lot of man-to-man over the course of this year. And it's not going to be Jonathan Jones.
617-779-0985. Phil Perry is with us. We will, of course, talk more about this game, including Josh Gordon and his performance, as well as Sony Michel. Let's go to Juan in Vegas. He's been hanging on. Juan.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up, Juan?
Good win last night. So awesome to see Jules running around out there again. It's good to see. I think it's going to be a big impact on this team. I did actually want to talk about the biggest joke of that game last night was the Colts defense and that stupid photograph celebration. It felt like they had half the roster in the end zone.
Embarrassing.
Celebrating a fluke interception.
Thank you.
In a game in which they're down two scores and their defense played terribly.
Did you hear what Frank Reich said about this after the game? He told Bob Kravitz that we're trying to create a fun culture here. And I want these guys to be able to express themselves. This is Philly. This is that Philly influence. And have fun. We're not going to do
nothing wrong with
the
fun if you're winning.
If you're not getting your ass kicked in by two touchdowns.
It'd be different.
In Philly. Do you have the personnel Philly has?
Hold on. You don't win because you're having fun.
Was Philly doing the bowling stuff?
Touchdown
celebrations, or were they winning?
If you're winning, you're allowed to get away with it.
They were up in game.
If you're up two touchdowns, you can take all the pictures 14. You want in the end zone.
Phil, was that a ball
hockey
pick?
You're trailing by 14. You didn't even really make a play.
You got handed
a turnover. It was literally handed to you by Chris Hogan, and you're celebrating like you actually did something. They looked foolish. 41 there. Matthias, he got embarrassed a couple of times later
in the
game. They came
to the sideline.
Which was perfect.
Right in front of us, I'm thinking, oh, God, they're going to get their ass handed to them. No, they went more nuts.
Pat on the helmet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that stuff for our purposes because we get to talk about it. I would much rather that than handshakes on the field. Well done. Way to go. Back to the sideline. Head down.
This is
what we do. We love this kind of stuff. Are you kidding me?
No, don't.
We get to talk about it for 5 minutes right now. It's tremendous.
God, if Devin McCourty did that, being down by 14, we would be doing 4 hours killing Devin McCourty.
They'd all be cut.
Of course we would.
He'd get cut.
Remember when they were dancing
with Lee and Belichick called a bunch of punks?
You know what Belichick team liked to have fun? 2009. They like to have a lot of fun.
How'd that go?
Hey, Sean.
They tell us now they have fun all the time.
Yeah. Remember? Oh, what are we, the Jetsons? So funny. Yeah, where the hell are all those guys now? Never won jack. Have fun when you win. That's when you can have fun. When you're up two or three scores. Then have all the fun you want.
What do you say? He's going to teleport
himself?
Because you're
doing your job.
The Jetsons?
Yeah, he didn't have a hovercraft or something. Hovercraft, what did he say?
Yeah.
Phil Perry is with us. Let's talk about Josh Gordon and his touchdown, which has become a very controversial play here in New England. It has, Phil.
Like whether it was impressive or not?
Yeah, well, the degree to which it is impressive.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A first and 10 from the Colt 34. Brady with a play fake to Michelle. Stands in the pocket. Bouncing right. Sliding back left. Directing traffic. A lot of time to launch a long, high-arcing pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side of the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
So sexy, Flash Gordon.
Number 500 in the regular season career of Tom Brady.
What a way to get the 500 to have this kid catch it. Just somebody different again. That's the thing you're going to have with this guy. The ability when things break down, to just give a playmaker a chance to go up and elevate and get it.
That was a great play Josh made, you know, jumping over the top of two defenders. And, you know, it tells you the kind of confidence I have in a really short period of time. So.
Okay, Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Give me your grade on the play. Give me your breakdown of the Josh Gordon touchdown and what you found most impressive about the play.
My grade? I think I'd give it a B plus. B plus slash A minus.
Love it. You won't even give it an A. That's
great. Is that a little low?
I like your starting point.
I think it's fair. Listen, I think that is a rare play for a receiver to make because not only is it a scramble drill, but if you watch it and you watch his route, he has to fight through some pretty significant contact in the middle of that thing as he's changing direction.
That's normally, my favorite normally, part.
So
about it.
The That's size, the strength, the agility to change direction in the first place, and the reason there was contact was because the defender couldn't change direction with him, basically tried to tackle him, he shakes free of it, and then chases the football down. And, you know, it wasn't like he Randy Mossed the two defenders in the end zone.
No, and that's a comparison.
But he finds it, though, which I think is impressive. And then he goes up and he kind of came back to attack the football.
He knew how to use the body to come back to sort of just step through the defenders.
The coordination there.
He didn't go up and over.
It's not just size and speed. There's coordination. There's hands. Like,
you can't.
There's not many receivers that I can really picture doing that. And every receiver that I could picture doing that are number one type of guys. Right. Like Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, those guys aren't making that play. And and Brady mentioned it there.
Even a guy
he
last year,
he trusts him
too,
to make
though,
that kind
I
of
said
play.
It, that ball, ends up on, like you said, it was a little underthrown to the goal line. Brandon Cooks would have hit the wall. He would have still been running. Yeah, he wouldn't have stopped to come back for it. And I'm not taking a shot at Cooks, but that's the difference in the type of receiver. The normal reaction for a receiver gets grabbed in the middle of field like that is to throw the hands up and stop and get the call. He kept fighting through. I'm more impressed with the process of the play than the actual completion of the play, if that makes any
sense. No, I agree with
you. The two guys went and attempted to make the play. It's a scramble drill. And for that guy to get it, because people question, was he there? Is he paying attention? Is football important to him? You make plays like that, football's important to you.
I asked Belichick about this morning on the conference call. Like, what are the rules in those type of scramble drills? Are they consistent across offensive systems? So would he do the same thing in Cleveland on a scramble drill that he would do here in New England? Belichick said basically every coach has his own rules. Every quarterback has his own rules and his own preferences. And so for me, I take that as for Gordon to execute that the way he did is a positive sign of how he's progressing in the offense.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls. Nate is in the car. Hi, Nate.
Hey, yeah, I mean, I'm just going back to the McCourty. Zoe, I disagree. I don't think Jason's very good. I think they're hiding him in their scheme, but every team's got to do that with their weakness, so I don't hold that against them. But on the Devin front, Beetle, you said it's how they're using him. Zoe, I think you saw this and you're, like, afraid to say it, but on that Ebron touchdown that got called back, he's standing flat-footed when he gets to the peak of his route and takes that post route. It's literally embarrassing for a guy getting paid that much, so. Makes me a little bit nervous.
Should have made the play. I even said on the bracket, he's got to make that play. He's got to get that offhand in and knock that out. Devin's there. You're in the hip pocket. You got to make the play. That's that thin post that Ebron caught right over the middle. That was in the south end zone. Yeah, he's going to make that play.
As far as Jason
it's not
McCourty.
Like, it's not like you're out of position. Sorry to interrupt you, Phil. But you know, Jason and Devin are completely different players. It's, you know, I mean, Jason's trending in the right direction.
I don't disagree with the caller, though, that he should have made that play. And he looked bad on the play. He looked like he got toasted on a bunch of plays, including that one. It's just that I'm not sure they've been asking him to do a lot of this in recent years.
And the tight end's thing has been generally Patrick Chung's role.
Yeah, and now last night you got him matched up on Ebron, and he hasn't done this a lot. And so that's why I think he looks especially bad, if that makes sense.
Yeah, see, they tried to draft another strong safety in Jordan Richards.
I'm not trying to tell you he looked good or make an excuse for him.
That back there, and it just didn't work out. You know?
He did make the one play where he strips the ball out and then recovers it himself is like one of the best defensive plays of the season thus far.
That's where he's good. He's tackling.
Right.
It's
good tackle.
But that's not coverage.
It's not coverage. Well, and why is he at safety in the first place? He came in as a corner.
Because they moved him from the corner.
So listen, that's what his skill set is generally, is as a safety. As a deep safety and as a helping safety. So we'll see what it looks like if they continue to ask him to cover these tight ends. I'm interested. The caller's point about them hiding Jason McCourty is I'm having a hard time understanding
that
one.
That.
I mean, they're targeting this guy. Teams are coming after Jason McCourty. He had two targets in the red zone early in that game yesterday, both go incomplete. He was getting targeted left and right in Detroit. I think he's been pretty consistent throughout.
617-779-0985. Ben in Rhode Island up next. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Ben?
Hey, so I have a question to see how you feel about this. And one thing I noticed, especially with the Hogan play, do you think it's right that Brady gets the negative stat for that play right there? I mean, he gets an interception on his record when it's clearly all Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's a pick. I mean, he throws it off a helmet. Say he throws a bad ball and it deflects off the helmet. It's a pick.
I mean,
and they catch it. It's a pick. A deflection and a pick is a pick. Nothing you can do about it.
Right.
I think your perception as a player, we would sit here saying he stunk. You know, if you throw two bad picks. Tom Brady interceptions, you know, 2 weeks ago were awful throws. Those weren't two awful throws. Right. He actually protected Gronkowski throwing it behind him on the one because the safety would have lit him up.
Did that a couple times yesterday.
Yeah.
Over the middle, throwing it behind Gronk.
By the way, I wanted to read this. I knew I had seen something the other day statistically on Jason McCourty. Evan Lazar had this on Twitter. Jason McCourty has allowed 72 yards into his coverage, seventh fewest among corners, with a minimum of 100 coverage snaps through the first 4 weeks. This didn't include last night. He had allowed a passer rating going into last night of 67.7.
That's pretty good. That's way below average.
Pretty good.
I think it ranks
going
third.
Into last night, Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the sixth best corner in the league to this point in the season.
Yeah, so I don't know what it is.
He had a good
night.
I think
there's just a stigma about Jason McCourty because people thought he was going to get cut during the preseason.
It was awful.
They didn't like what they saw.
He was awful in the preseason. I thought he was one of your worst secondary people in the preseason. Practice. Games. Then they moved him to safety. Then there's a period where they took him out of corner and put him at safety. Yeah, he's back in the corner. I mean, I think
the safety thing, though, is because for safety depth.
Yeah.
Jordan Richards giving you nothing. They really don't. Outside of, you know, it's Harmon, it's McCourty and Chung. But if one of those guys gets hurt, and you're playing big nickel as your base, essentially, all the time.
Come on.
So I thought that was a depth thing more than he's not a corner anymore. We got to play him at
safety. I mean, the way he's playing right now, Jason McCourty, you could have a situation where you're, like, waiting for Eric Rowe to be 1,000% healthy before you're putting him back on the field.
It gives them that luxury. Right? I mean, and they have young corners, too, that I think they would like to give reps to, but Jason McCourty's playing well.
Hey, Zoe, you missed Pauly yesterday. Pauly stopped by at Splitsville.
Oh, I heard another friend said he saw Pauly.
Pauly!
That's a mission. What's up?
Of course he's not there.
Exactly what I missed.
Pauly!
He's not there. Bye, Pauly.
Just put us on hold.
You missed your opportunity. Sorry, Pauly. Pauly showed up. Yeah. Okay. Drinking a Bud Light with 5 limes in it and was drinking it through a straw. In a plastic cup.
Through a straw, huh?
Yeah, through a straw.
It's lime and
I didn't. I didn't understand that move, but he's got a system. Obviously,
it's his cheap version of.
He's a unique man.
It's
he
not
does
a Corona.
His own way.
It's not a Corona, but he's not paying for a Corona. You know, it's kind of like I'm getting a Corona taste. It's like buying the.
It may have been a Bud Light lime.
I told
with
you about
limes
Brisby.
In it.
Brisby,
I mean, it was very limey.
Brisby would buy the lower end 300 Mercedes, but he would take that 500 sticker and put it on. And make it. The engine wasn't quite, but Brisby would jazz it up. It looked like an expensive one.
Yeah,
that's Paulie trying to drink expensive beer.
Good for him. Here are the headlines with Hardy. Get you caught up on things. Phil Perry is with us as we continue to talk about the Patriots' win last night over the Colts. Coming up next, Zoe will tell us who to reward for their performance last night.
Sports Hub headlines.
Julian Edelman returned to football last night as the Patriots got the 38-24 win over the Colts at Gillette Stadium. Jules?
It was great. You know, there's some things that obviously we have to work on, but it was good to get out there and catch some rocks and go out and make some plays and be with the fellas.
Tom Brady completed 34 of 44 passes on the night, by the way. 341 yards, three touchdowns, two picks. Pats get a few days off. Next up, they'll prepare for the Chiefs a week from Sunday. Bruins with the 4-0 win last night over the Sabres, answering the 7-0 shutout loss they suffered in the season opener. Next up, their Monday matinee against Ottawa at the TD Garden. Red Sox and Yankees get it going tonight. ALDS, Game 1, Fenway Park. Chris Sale goes to the mound opposite Jay Happ, 7:32, first pitch. Headlines are brought to you by Clear Path for Veterans New England's Journey Home 5K to support our veterans and first responders on Veterans Day. Register now at JourneyHome5K.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Give to Michelle. Runs to the left side. A burst past the 25. Outside of the 20. 15-10. Left sideline 5. Hurtling into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
There you go, you rook. We talked about him breaking, and he's a breakaway runner. We saw this in Georgia. 34 yards around left end. Sees the goal line. Woo! That's a tough one for the 2-6 show there. Sorry, guys. Great block. But more importantly, his ability to get the daylight. He stiff arms the safety. Lake Churn. Boy, just takes that right hand right into face mask. Get off me. Give me some more daylight.
Oh, give me some lemonade.
It's now time to see who we should reward for their performance in last night's game, brought to you by Coors Light. Be sure to download the Coors Light Rewards app and start earning rewards all football season long, including a video chat with Zoe. Zoe, based on last night's game, who should be rewarded?
Rookie running back, Sony Michel. You know, I mean, the passing game's there. We'll be there with Edelman and company, but they got to get this kid going. That's two games on short rest. He's running the ball differently. You know, that's the first time we saw the breakout there to the left, to get to the sideline, to turn it up, just like Georgia. It's the stuff they drafted it from, some of the stuff.
Right
in your face. Stiff arm. Because he said, you know what, you're not going to tackle me, safety. But I'm sure it'll be spun into the lowly Colts, and wasn't a great defender.
I have become like an annoying fanboy for Sony Michel.
I'm so rooting for Sony Michel.
You should have seen us last night as he ran for that touchdown. We're all like, yeah, go, Sony, go, go, go.
He doesn't
Like,
he doesn't
suck it 2-6. Take that, Maz. Oh, I'm such an annoying Patriot fan on this player now.
You can't. It's a tough one for the 2-6 show there.
Yeah. Sure is.
Can't break that one. I mean, that's one like you can't say, hey, Sleeves, you could even run that one in. You know, Sleeves would have just broke his thumb on the stiff arm.
He runs hard, man. He was injuring people last night.
Did you see him run over that safety? They knocked two guys out of the Planet Zippy.
I mean, you don't want to see head injuries, but he's just finishing. He's finishing these runs really hard.
He takes contact.
Yards after contact. Yeah. The two runs that I actually thought were, obviously the touchdown run was impressive. He had two runs right before the half. One where he followed James Devlin, but was pretty patient and set up the block really well for a longer run. And then the very next play, I believe, he gets hit. There's a pitch to the right. He gets hit 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, turns it into a 3-yard gain, which is whatever in the box score. But there's such a difference, especially in the red zone, between 2nd and 13.
The Devlin one was the best one. The Devlin one, I know exactly the one you're talking about, because she showed patience instead of just doing what he did sort of in Jacksonville, is just running up into the back of
the Devlin. He told me that after the Dolphins game. He said, in Jacksonville and in Detroit, I think I was a little over-eager. He was pressing his runs to the line of scrimmage so fast because he just wanted to hit the hole so hard, but he wasn't allowing things to develop. Right. So now that timing and that rhythm with the offensive line is there.
It's what makes Le'Veon Bell so great, that delay,
he's
drop.
He's the extreme, right.
You don't want that, you know what I'm saying, but you got to let it develop and you got to be able to see something. And I just think, Beadle, that we know what – obviously a story of last night's Edelman, but his ability to run the ball and to get, you know, how many have? 80? Was he at 88? Did he end up with 88 or was it 90?
No, he was over – he was 98.
98.
Yeah, 98.
That's a just shame.
Just shy of 100. Again.
You think Murray could have ran that one in?
Well, Robert Edwards in 1998 was really good.
Right. Blew his knee out
no, could Murray
sand.
Could Murray do that? No.
Yeah.
Could Devlin do that?
How's Murray in the post game? Is he doubling down or tripling down?
No, he's back.
You can't triple down on it.
No, he's reverse course on it and admits that he was wrong.
Oh, he did?
He's like, I was wrong. I was stupid. I was over emotional.
I was over emotional.
I'm a stupid Pats fan.
He's such a fan.
He's like, I'm a stupid Pats fan.
I get all.
He's like,
Murray.
I get too tied in. I overreact.
What a sucker.
Yeah. That's yeah, but beautiful. He was with them in the beginning, and now he at least won't double down. Like, he sees it, and then says, oh, I can't. I got to take it back. Got to take it back.
Kid ran hard.
He did.
Offensive line has been good. Got to give them credit, too. I mean, they've been, last two games have been really good. Pass protection, too.
Paulie, go ahead.
Hey, what do you say, boys?
Hey.
You know, if it wasn't for Edelman's drop and the two bobble interceptions, that would have been a complete and total annihilation. You know, but I don't blame those guys for celebrating in the end zone for the Colts because
why?
They have a chance to come back at that point.
They're down 14. The ball is in their own end.
And sure enough, Luck brought them right down the field and made it a one-score game. You're only by the time they handed the Patriots get the ball back, they're only winning by 7 points. I don't mind that at all. I think it was that was fire.
You didn't mind that at all. Where are you from?
No. So Sony Michel. When you got two guys slicing in on you from either side, when he knocked a D back out of the game, you got two guys slicing in on you. What are you going to do? Stand up, not lower your head?
Did you say, hey Paulie, the guy he knocked out. Do?
That is such a stupid rule. Because they're not going to throw a flag. What is the running back supposed to do?
What happened to the
in
flag?
A situation like that?
By the way, it wasn't even
lowering
his
your head.
It wasn't even his helmet. He did lower his head, but he didn't make contact with the head.
The guy coming in from the
with
left.
The shoulder.
Duck the head.
Yeah, and the
head
guy
him.
And that,
that guy
and
be
that
flying.
Helmet went right into Sony Michel's shoulder pads. Didn't go helmet to helmet there.
It doesn't have to go helmet to helmet. You have to initiate contact by lowering the head. It has nothing to do with helmet to helmet.
No, but Paulie's right. When you have a situation where there's two guys coming at you angled, right? What are you gonna do? Stand straight up? Let them kill
ass.
You?
Run
no, for self preservation you gotta get low.
Down deep.
To sort of brace for that.
Become a battering ram.
Dan is in the car. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey,
Dan.
Actually, just wanted to real quick say, hey, Beagle, hey, Zoe.
Hey, Dan.
CSB. Zoe, I met you when I was like 12 years old at the old practice facility next to the mental hospital. but
it's crazy.
Anyway, so Andy coached my best friend's flag football, his son's flag football.
Nice. Team,
so. So, anyway, I was wondering what you guys thought about the Pats only losing one or two more games during the regular season. I'll hang up.
That'd be great.
Please do.
I'll take that. I'll take that now.
One or two more games in the regular season?
I'm cranky today. I'm such a jerk.
They got some tough ones coming up. Kansas City, Chicago. Chicago looks better than I think we thought they were going to be.
Forget talking anything beyond Kansas City right now.
Yeah, it's going to be. That's great.
It's all
a whole week
Kansas
of Kansas City talk.
This is going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome. That's a bad defense. It's going to be a lot of points. It's going to be a lot of points.
Take the
they
over.
Scored 30. Yes. Sleep
well,
last
let's
night.
See what
Paulie's right. They should have scored 50.
Let's see what the over is before we say take the over.
Right. I just like, no, forget that. Just take the over. Put it in now.
Whatever it is?
Yeah, whatever it is. Lock it in.
See what it comes out. See what it is early. See what it opens at. What do you... What?
Nothing.
What? Oh, I don't want to know what you're doing.
It's not as bad as I thought it was initially.
Right.
Zoe just wiped something on the screen.
John in Maryland. John.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Hi, Cole.
Ryan's in the car. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going? I had three quick points I wanted to get to.
Go. Number one.
Number one was the Gronk fumble. Why wasn't that called a fumble? Number two, how many interceptions do you think Brady's going to throw this year? And number three, why do you think Josh Gordon isn't playing as much? Do you think it's more of a personnel decision, or do you think it's more about his conditioning?
Oh, good question.
Nice job by Ryan. Three concise points and questions. Bing, bang, boom.
Ryan, you could call back anytime. What do you want to start with?
Gordon.
18 snaps again, I believe, last night. So that's 2 weeks in a row, 18 snaps.
I take a look at everything. I try and watch the pregame, try and watch how he's involved and who he is catching the ball from. Caught a lot of balls from Hoyer yesterday in pregame. So that kind of alerted me, like, thought they were going to feed him more. Then, you know, he's out there early with Brady.
He's also starting, right.
Yeah, you got Julian back, so now all of a sudden you kind of get crossed up. You don't have that many receivers on game day to begin with anyway. So, and then post-game, second week in a row, they put him at the podium. Three questions, maybe four next week, maybe five. I think it's a slow indoctrination, but you keep making plays like he made there with Brady, he's going to get more opportunities.
Part of it is, too,
I think they're waiting for him to earn it, too.
Part of it is when you get a receiver, any position player, who comes in mid-season, you're not giving him everything. You're just giving him that week's game plan and a certain number of plays for that week. And so I wonder, and I don't know if this happened last night, but if things at all get off schedule or you go at all off script, Josh Gordon probably isn't going to be available in those types of situations. So you see him early because you have those plays scripted out. You know what you want to try to run.
Yeah.
And if things get a little weird, get a little sideways, you might not see him as much.
Why it was ruled a interception and not a fumble? Easy. Gronk didn't possess the ball long enough for that to be considered a catch and a fumble.
Who knows? But who knows?
I mean, right?
You watch it. What do you think it was?
Did he make a football play?
It looked like a catch. I mean, I didn't think
there was enough there for it to be catch.
But I thought he had it.
Can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
Why do we care?
Who cares?
Who gives a damn? Which relates to his third question, how many interceptions do we think Brady will throw?
10.
You know who cared about it last
12.
Night?
12. I don't know. Who cares?
You know who cares?
Why do you care?
Chris Ballard. Chris Ballard in the press box, the loudest GM I've ever heard in a Gillette Stadium press box.
Oh, so that's
complaining
why.
Every other snap about holds, pass interference, contact down the field. It was a wine fest.
I have a question.
From that section of the press box.
Why is he in the press box?
You see it occasionally. I don't know why we see it some weeks and not others, but you see it occasionally. Certain teams, for whatever reason, like Tom Coughlin was in the press box
for
the AFC Championship game. Bill Polian has been in the press box. So it happens.
Maybe they just put the Colt tool bags up there.
I mean, it might just be which teams do the Patriots like and which ones do they not like.
Put them in a press box.
Throw them in the press box in the middle of a few hundred reporters.
There it is. Here's a tweet from Doug Kind of Nesson last night.
Put him next to Benditson.
And we were reading this.
Hello there, Chris Ballard, William Benditson, Patriots pulpit, Patriots maven, best coverage in the business.
1:15 a.m., Doug Kind tweeted this, and we thought, wow, I wonder if he's insinuating something went on in the press box, and clearly something was going on. Doug Kind wrote, there was some cool parts of tonight's game and everything, but undoubtedly the best thing that happened to me was sitting in front of Chris Ballard in the press box all game.
In front of?
With no more than that. And we're like, what happened up there? Was he loud? Was he cheering? What happened? Oh, no, he was whining about every play. Little mini Bill Polian up there.
Ripping the headphones out of his ears. I don't know if he was listening to the radio broadcast or what he was listening to.
Yeah, I walked right into him in pregame.
Angry.
Down on the field. And like did a double take. That dude looks like me. A little bit.
He does.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little weird.
Thought you were looking in the mirror.
I would have loved to see
creepy,
that.
Little creepy Zell.
Can you see that?
Whoa. It's you, little guy.
More with Phil Perry next. RJ Bell from Vegas at 1 o'clock.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What is their problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second down and 8 for the Pats from the Indy 30. Hogan, slot left, inside Dorsett. Three receivers right, Edelman, Glock, and then White. Brady, shotgun snap in an empty set. A throw down the middle, off the hands of Hogan. Picked off on the deflection. And Farley has it, running it past the 30 for Indianapolis, where he is tackled.
Cheap pick. Where's he going?
So the
scoreboard
Colts
tool bag.
Come away with the interception, trailing 24-10 here in the third on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots.
Rivalries on.
Radio Network.
Yeah. Call it like you see it.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Columbus Day weekend cookout a huge success.
I'm going to have a cookout this week.
Get details at stopandshop.com. You're going to cook out?
Yep, definitely. Nice weather this weekend.
Going to go swimming in the pool?
Sunday, well, yeah.
What's the weather for Sunday? Warm?
74 and sunny, not a cloud in the sky.
It's warm enough for you to go in.
Definitely warm
dip
enough.
Them toes right in.
Mm.
All right, what were we going to talk about? I lost my train of thought.
You said Phil was in, and then we're going to talk to RJ.
Sports. No.
Hot sports takes.
There was something we were going to talk about.
Stupidity of that play.
Sports.
Like, what are you doing?
Celebration. I feel like I just learned a lot from Beadle here. We were talking about how I said earlier that I liked the fact that the Colts did that just because it allows us to talk about it. And Beadle agreed with me. You agreed with me. You said, yes, it's great for us as
sure,
media
it's great
people.
To talk about, yes.
But
do the talking.
Do the talking.
What do you think
that's
about
a, that's a great, that's just like a great piece of advice. I'm going to carry that with me the rest of my life.
It's a Richard
just do
Sherman
the talking.
Play. You know what I mean? That's a Richard
right.
Legion
talking,
of Boom Sherman play when you're winning.
The talking on that is it's lame.
Here's
it's
what we should lame. Talk about. How about the Daron Harmon, Patrick Chung celebration last night?
Did
when
we like that?
21-3.
So they're up big.
21-3 at that
a play.
Point. Yes.
I like it.
Did you like it?
I like the
Did
celebration.
You see it, though?
Yeah, I saw him kick him and then like he fell down.
Yeah, but it's
like,
a Karate Kid celebration.
It is? But he was doing the wobble like you see in like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's
wobble,
that was wobble, a that was a little
wobble,
wrinkle.
The wobble.
It's great.
Yeah. Harmon said he came up with that just before the game.
Oh.
Yeah.
It looked nice. Well, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Very
well,
nice.
There you go.
Well rehearsed.
John is in Maryland. He's back on the line. Hey, John.
Hey guys. Quick question for Phil Perry. Running back depth. Burkhead's on injured reserve. The other guy went down first game of the year. That Kenyon guy looked like he had a little burst, but then you cut him. We got two guys. Who's going to step in if one White or Sony Michel goes down?
They're going to have to add.
Concern.
Yeah, they're going to have to add somebody at some point this season. To have two guys on the roster be your primary contributors is not going to last.
Yeah,
and Sony Michel's, you know, he came into the year dealing with an injury, so. I think these things kind of work themselves out generally. Like, you're going to have an issue somewhere else, an injury somewhere else, where you maybe have a little bit of depth and you say, okay, instead of adding a defensive lineman to replace this injured defensive lineman, maybe we add a running back. But all that being said, what happened at the end of the 2015 season? That was the Steven Jackson era. Remember how that went? Didn't go so good for the Patriots. You thought you'd be able to piece it together at that position. You could just get anybody off the street, plug them in, and you'll be fine. Was not the case. Now, the offensive line that year was a mess. Nate Solder missed most of that year, torn bicep.
Yep.
But it's hard to find productive guys, I think. At least that year was definitely difficult, and it was part of the reason they finished the way they did. So you're going to need somebody at some point. I don't know who that guy is, though.
Bill is in Amherst. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
What's up, Bill?
I want what you were saying, Beadle, about being that crazy fan about sort of Michelle. I kind of felt the same way last night with Josh Gordon. And, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I'm hoping that the way they're seeing this is you got to go slow with this guy, not just physically, but mentally as well. He gets too much too fast. This is a lot of what's been a lot of the things that he told me was kind of the problem all along. He's just been given he's been given everything on a silver spoon because of his talent. So I'm hoping that everybody's kind of realizes this, and now they're saying, you know, we got to get this guy slow along. I mean, everybody's like saying, why aren't we giving him the ball? Why aren't we feeding him right now? Give him more. Maybe behind the scenes it's like more like, okay, we're going to go really slow with this guy. I believe, like Zoe's right, he's going to get that 10-catch, 200-yard game. It's going to happen. And when it does, he's going to blow up. And they need to watch out for that because that's one of the problems that happens with addiction is that if you get too much too fast, you know, you have a tendency to, that's where you have a tendency to go off the rails.
All right, Bill, appreciate the call. Last night after the game, Tommy Curran asked Josh Gordon about what's it like to not be the focal point of an offense. And what did he say? He said it was a relief.
A relief.
Yeah.
Just good to watch the other guys do their thing. I think it's a weight off his shoulders to not be the focal point, the centerpiece of everything. You don't have to be the guy that makes the engine go.
I'm waiting for the disengagement where you know, he's going to like seem tap, not to tap out, but I watch sideline, watch him in between series. You have TV timeouts. Helmet's always on. He's into it. He's in the coach's ear. He's on the bench with his crew listening. I haven't seen any issues with him yet.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's just got to be the way you look at it.
That's how you got to take it. From an expectation standpoint, I don't know. The scheme-wise, and, you know, they're scoring 38 in their sleep right now, last two games.
Brady said it feels like they're leaving points on the board
the
last couple weeks.
Of course they are.
38 points.
So, you know, they got to get back to scoring in the mid-30s, the high-30s. That'll help the defense out. And the defense always gets better weeks 10 to 15 because that's where they scheme. You know, so you get people on tape.